My name is Tom O'Rourke, and I'm the president of the Neponset River Regional Chamber. The Chamber seeks to enhance quality of life and economic development in the Neponset River region by supporting and connecting business, community, education, and government. Today, we are pleased to be kicking off our first podcast episode of the Elder Care Alliance. The Elder Care Alliance is a group of businesses who are Chamber members working together to educate people on services and supports available to families and seniors through Chamber members or through publicly funded programs. Our Alliance members include private home care agencies, senior living communities, nursing facilities, attorneys, financial planners, business leaders, hospital executives, real estate professionals, and many more. The Elder Care Alliance is developing a series of podcasts to educate people on what to expect as you age. Each episode will explore a specific topic designated by the Alliance with local speakers who have expertise in the subject. We will cover a wide variety of topics, beginning with cognitive care, and explore how aging impacts us all. Today we are joined by two cognitive care professionals. Alicia Siva is Epic Senior Living's Vice President of Memory Care Operations and a prominent educator, trainer, and speaker. She is a memory impairment specialist certified by the National Institute on Aging and is a state-certified Alzheimer's and related dementia trainer and support group facilitator in Massachusetts and Florida. Also joining us is Heather Andrews. Heather serves as a research associate at Hebrew Senior Life's Hinda and Arthur Marcus Institute for Aging Research and medical assistant at the Deanna and Sydney Wolk Center for Memory Health at HSL. Heather holds a degree in psychology from the University of Maine and is a member of the International Neuropsychological Society and the Society for Clinical Neuropsychology. So, that's kind of a mouthful. So why don't we start with each of you telling us a little bit more about the specifics of what you do in your position, and we'll start with Heather.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me here. It's really a pleasure to be here. So I have two roles, which are very diverse in what I do every day, but they also work together hand in hand to inform one another. So I'm a research associate at the Marcus Institute for Aging Research, and it's really built upon a team of scientists that are working together to improve health outcomes in aging, and really to redefine aging, to change the status quo so that we're not just accepting aging as a state of disease and decline. And then also, I'm a medical assistant at the Wolk Center for Memory Health. And there, I get to see patients come in every day, and I work with a wonderful team, a geriatrician, a neurologist who's top in his field, a nurse practitioner, a geriatric psychiatrist, et cetera, resource specialist, social worker, and a whole wonderful team of people, and together we create a cohesive plan of care for every individual that comes in the door.
Is that like an outpatient type of service where they come
Yes.
by appointment?
Yep, it is an outpatient clinic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Alicia.
Good to be with both of you. Thank you so much for having me. I do work at Epic Senior Living, and I'm the Vice President of Operations for the memory care side of the business, so the Bridges by Epic Communities. I'm fortunate in that I'm able to spread my wings a little bit with Epic and not just focus on operations. I facilitate support groups for our communities, educational opportunities for our family members and the like. So I'm happy to be here too.
Yeah, great. Thank you both for being here. And this field has really exploded in the last couple of decades, and we see it through the Chamber of Commerce, through the different members that we have. We have far more many members now in elder care than we did years ago.
Sure.
Because there are so many more services available. Mm. So today we're talking about cognitive care. So what cognitive changes happen in the brain as we age?
So really there are a number of changes that happen as we age. Years ago, we used to think that the brain became static over time, that you underwent a period of growth where you had a lot of plasticity in your brain and you could learn a lot of things, and then it would peak maybe in your 20s or 30s even, and then decline. Now we know that you can live a life of enhanced neuroplasticity throughout the course of your lifespan. So the brain is really live wired. It's highly interconnected, and every single interaction that you have, every word that you speak, everything you see, everything that you're intaking into your brain, into your mind, is having an impact on the way your brain ages. And so, some of the changes that we might see when we age are slowing of processing speed because of the decrease in the myelin sheath that goes between the connections of neurons in your brain. So you might notice that it's taking you a little bit longer to make decisions. It's taking you longer to find certain things, find your keys, find your car in the parking lot, what have you. Those are all things that are normal changes that happen throughout the course of the lifespan, and you'll notice those more often later in life.
And it's not like they don't happen at a certain time. I mean, it's different for everyone, right? We all have different degrees of that?
Yes. So really, we all have a certain amount of cognitive reserve that we build up during the lifespan. And so you can actually work to improve your cognitive reserve as you age by continuing to learn and to engage with other people. Your brain can stay healthy throughout the lifespan.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Lisa, did you want to add to that?
Well, I love that Heather validated that we should all be looking for our car keys. Because, you know, I think it's something that we reference oftentimes. Mm-hmm. We specialize in memory care. So I often find myself explaining to people it's normal to come out of the grocery and use your key fob to locate your car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm winking at Heather. But if you get into your car and you're not sure what to do next, or you don't remember how you got there, you should meet Heather.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's a difference
right.
there. And I also appreciate what she said about all of us and what we can do to make an impact. And, you know, learning new things and growth and what's vibrant in life, we should all be engaging in.
Mm-hmm. And you raise a really important point that when you start becoming truly concerned about your cognitive function, when it's really interrupting your day-to-day life, talk to someone about it. Reach out to your PCP, your primary care physician, your spouse, a significant other, or a friend, a close friend, and don't be ashamed, you know, because you want to take care of your brain health, your cognitive health, just like you would any other part of your body. And it's your brain is so critically important. It's running every part of your system. So it's like the engine in a car, for example. You want to keep it in check.
Right. So I've been doing crossword puzzles. Are there other things that can be done to improve a person's cognitive health outcomes?
Definitely. There are a number of things that can be done. So beyond challenging your brain and increasing the cognitive stimulation that you're getting every day, you can improve your diet. It's not only important for your physical health, but also really important for your brain health. And studies have shown that a plant-based diet specifically, close to a Mediterranean diet, can really improve cognition, and especially one that's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So intaking maybe salmon twice a week, something like that. That would be beneficial. Also berries, nuts, whole grains, incorporating those things. Sleep is critically important. Getting 7 to 8 hours a night. I feel like years ago we used to think that people who slept a lot were lazy, but now we know that it's really vital for improving memory health
and good
maintaining
to hear.
It. Yeah. So that's a reason, you know, I'm doing this for my health, yes.
Right.
Get enough sleep for sure, because if you don't get enough sleep, your memory is impaired. It can lead to decreases in or shrinkage in the hippocampus, part of the area of the brain that's responsible for memory function. And also increase levels of cortisol, which leads to the next point, which is you can lower your stress. So stress over time, the activation of that sympathetic nervous system response can really wreak havoc on your body and your brain, because you have heightened levels of cortisol, for one example, that actually leads to deterioration of your brain and specifically your hippocampus over time. And that can lead to cognitive decline and increased risk for dementia. And there are other things that you could do.
sleep.
Sure.
Diet, reduce stress. What else?
I would increase socialization whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Body in motion stays in motion. I would continue to do your puzzles. I would just amp them up a notch. I feel like if they're too easy, maybe.
I do the Sunday.
No, good.
I do the Sunday.
Is it easy for you?
It's moderately, yeah.
I feel like the challenge is probably piece to the pie. You know, but raising the bar and exposure and learning and all those things are rich.
Socialization, you mentioned. We've been locked down for 2 years. How do people deal with that, especially in times like this?
I think that's probably the bingo bango question of the day. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we will do anything for the residents that we need to do. And it has been a challenging 2 years. But there's still opportunity in ways in which to socialize.
Definitely.
And understanding the value and how important that is becomes key. So if it's FaceTime or if it's Zoom or what, if it's through a window and you're engaging with your family, whatever it is, we're going to do it because we know the value.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Super important. It's important for us, too.
Yeah.
When we feel weary is when we should be doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and really what you want to do, especially, is to avoid loneliness, because that has really been linked to increased chance of cognitive decline, risk for cognitive decline. So there's no right number of social connections in your life.
Right.
It's getting to the place where you feel fully supported. And you have healthy social relationships that are positive, that are helping to decrease your stress, making you feel better, and connecting you with the resources that you need. And so if you're out there listening and you've been feeling lonely, you feel like you don't have the resources, you don't have the connections, it's really critical to reach out. That's one thing I truly love about the work that I do, is getting to see people who have finally come into the clinic where I work, and maybe they've hesitated, maybe they're afraid, but they're finally getting help, they're finally getting support, and we're able to offer that to them.
Right. Yeah, and there are plenty of resources out there, and it's connecting people to those that's going to be important. And,
sure.
And I'll talk a little bit at the end about our Elder Care Alliance, which provides access to a lot of those resources.
But, sure.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this about, on the dementia side, what if we haven't already covered it, what are the modifiable risk factors for dementia?
I think we've already heard some of them. Yeah. I think loneliness.
Yeah.
You're going to hear more and more about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that folks that live with hypertension,
exactly,
those kinds of things are a risk. I feel so strongly that we have opportunity here in talking with people about ways in which we can all do things differently so to avoid a future that's bumpier.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we're at the perfect spot right here, right now, to look at things differently. And if you live with something like diabetes, then look at how you manage it. And if your sugars are out of control, then let's look at ways in which we can bring control of your situation so that you don't have to live anything else besides the diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're talking about cognitive care, but really all of this plays into it, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think it's about how well we manage what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You really need to take a whole person approach.
Yeah.
You know, you can't isolate cognition or brain health because it's really part of your entire system.
Now, what if you have a loved one and you think you are seeing signs of decline that maybe they're not seeing?
Mm.
What actions should you or could you take?
I love what Heather said in the beginning, you know, to reach out, feel no shame, and reach out to your healthcare provider. Because what if it's something reversible? I'm in the business of what's not reversible. But there are so many things that are reversible.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of things that look like dementia that are not dementia.
Yeah.
So if there's a thyroid deficiency or any number of other things, an untreated urinary tract infection, what I look like or someone could look like in that situation. So to make sure that it's not something simple, right?
Yeah.
Right, and to get in there earlier, because you can really change the course of your entire life, really.
Yeah.
So that's where I say, really, don't be afraid to reach out. And if someone you know is struggling with an issue like this, maybe they're afraid to talk about it because there has been so much stigma around this issue. There's so much fear. I really think we need to let that go. I think we're at the stage where I think we all recognize that this is a big issue in our society. And that the status quo is not okay anymore. Things have to change. So open up, share with your loved one, maybe express a little bit of concern, mm-hmm. offer to go with them to see the primary care physician and to talk about their cognitive health. And as you were saying, there's nothing wrong with getting a simple checkup. In fact, some people come into a cognitive care clinic just to make sure they're on the right track. There's no harm in going early, even if you aren't really seeing any symptoms.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're making progress related to the stigmas around this, but there's still a ways to go.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that I'm prideful to sit here with Heather because I am never going to forget that she said that people shouldn't feel shame. Yeah. This is a disease. These are diseases of the brain. No one would ask for these. Mm-hmm. And we don't carry shame around hypertension or diabetes or any cancer.
Yeah.
People don't carry shame.
Right.
So to be able to talk about these brain diseases the same way, and I also appreciate what she said about early detection, because there's opportunity. Life doesn't end with Alzheimer's. It doesn't. Life goes on, and how it goes can be driven by how early we start talking to people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we have, we're lucky that we have more resources available for people now, too. And terms of the facilities and the different levels of care and all.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and one thing that goes hand in hand with nurturing your social contacts is really compassion. I think what we're talking about here is being more compassionate with other people who might be undergoing challenges. You wouldn't be judging them in any way if they had diabetes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to them in a way that makes them feel supported. And then for those who maybe don't have as many robust social relationships that are extremely positive and healthy as we should, make sure to nurture your own compassion for yourself. If you're struggling with these kinds of issues, have more compassion for yourself. Be open to that. Mm-hmm. And then that'll increase your strength and ability to reach out to other people.
Right. I have asked my questions. I would give you a chance to add anything else if there's anything that we missed or something you wanted to, a point you wanted to make that we haven't.
I think a point important for us to think about is our own self-care.
Yeah.
It's something I think about every day, you know, and I'm coming on 30 years of serving memory-impaired seniors, and I would never have made it. You know, it's a high burnout industry. If I didn't know how to take care of myself, and if I didn't put some effort into that to make me the best that I can be every day. And I wish for people to spend some time thinking about that, especially in memory care. They need us.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Great thought. All right. Well, thank you both again. You were both terrific. This was really enlightening, and I think people are going to enjoy hearing it and get a lot out of it. This podcast is meant to be shared with anyone who may find it useful, so feel free to refer people to our website, nrrchamber.com, and under the Programs and Services tab, click on Elder Care Alliance for access to this and future podcasts, as well as our video series on aging with dignity. And you will also see there a list of the businesses I mentioned that make up our Elder Care Alliance, who are all available to anybody that's looking for resources to help. So until the next time, thanks for joining us.